God bless you all. We just give glory to our leaders and to the Lord, first of all. And I just bless him this morning for what he is doing in each and every one of our lives. This morning, my title for my case study is More Than Enough, A Greater Covenant.
Amen.
And I thank you, Elder Allison, for putting that up for me.
Amen.
The case study I have is us, TGM. It's us. That's my case study. It's TGM.
Amen.
Apostle Todd on last Sunday was speaking to us prophetically. God was letting us know that he has planned for us when he has our worship in every aspect of our lives. He intends to give all he has promised, holding back nothing. He's not going to keep anything from us. His intentions are to really love on us. And we know that we learned a while back that his love towards us is in our success and our salvation, and him in just pouring out in every way on us.
Amen.
In all kinds of manners of giving unto us.
Amen.
A few days ago, when I was getting ready to get into the Rhema, I was going to go onto Facebook and listen to the message that had been taught. And as I was about to do that, I saw this little something else that had been posted on Facebook. And it was a picture of a well-known preacher. And it said his name. And it said that he had confessed. And because I recognized him, I was wondering what was it that they were talking about. And he got on, he was speaking, I believe, to his church. And I was kind of, I guess I can use the word grieved, because he was confessing and apologizing for teaching on tithe. And when I heard that, for me, it was disturbing. And it really kind of bothered me, but you know, the Lord does things perfectly, because it made me, and I believe with all my heart, it was the Lord. I wanted to read in the New Testament concerning tithing. And when I started searching it out, I read Hebrews 7, 1 through 28. And I know that's a lot for me to read this morning, but if you'll just bear with me, because I really feel the Lord would have me read the entire chapter. So just, I would like your attention to listen very carefully. Amen. Of what's taking place in this. Listen with a hearing ear.
Amen.
Of what actually is taking place. All right, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, going back to Melchizedek, king of righteousness, as whom Melchizedek was, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginnings or days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. And without, and we know who has the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men, excuse me, I'm at this point, I'm going to switch to the AMPC version, okay? But this person who has not their Levitical ancestry received tithes from Abraham himself and blessed him who possessed the promises of God. Yet it is beyond all contradiction that it is the lesser person who is blessed by the greater one. Furthermore, here in the Levitical priesthood, tithes are received by men who are subject to death. While there, in the case of Melchizedek, they are received by one of whom is testified that he lives perpetually. A person might even say that Levi, the father of the priestly tribe himself, who received tithes, the tenth, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his forefather, Abraham, when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection, a perfect fellowship between God and the worshiper, had been attained by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people were given the law, why was it further necessary that there should arise another and different kind of priests, one after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one appointed after the order of the rank of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessity and alteration of the law concerning the priesthood. For the one of whom these things are said belonged not to the priestly line, but to another tribe, no member of which has officiated at the altar. For it is obvious that our Lord sprang from the tribe of Judah, and Moses mentioned nothing about priests in connection with that tribe. Mm-hmm. And this becomes more plainly evident when another priest arises who bears the likeness of Melchizedek, who has been constituted a priest, not on the basis of a bodily legal requirement, an external imposed command concerning his physical ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an endless and indestructible life. Wow. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever, after the order with the rank of Melchizedek. So a previous physical regulation and command is canceled because of its weakness and ineffectiveness and uselessness. For the law never made anything perfect, but instead a better hope is introduced, which we now come close to God. And it was not without the taking of an oath that Christ was made priest. For those who formerly became priests received their office without its being confirmed by the taking of an oath by God. But this one was designated and addressed and saluted with the oath. The Lord has sworn and will not regret it or change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And keeping with this oath greater strength and force, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better, a stronger agreement, a more excellent and a more advantageous covenant. Again, the former successive line of priests was made up of many because they were each prevented by death from continuing perpetually in office, but he who holds his priesthood unchangeable because he lives on forever. Therefore, he is able also to save to the utmost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them, us. I'm adding that you know them is us. Amen. Here is the high priest, perfectly adapted to our needs, as with fitting, holy, blameless, unstained by sin, separated from sinners and exalted higher than the heavens. He has no day-by-day necessity as to do each of these other high priests to offer sacrifice first of all for his own sins and then for those of the people, because he met all the requirements once and for all when he brought himself as a sacrifice. He brought himself as a sacrifice, which he offered up. For the law sets up men in the weakness, frail, sinful, dying human beings as a high priest. But the word of God's oath, which was spoken later after the institution of the law, chooses and appoints as priest one whose appointment is complete and permanent, a son who has been made perfect forever. Hmm. Forever. We see in this scriptures, you want to know what we see in this scriptures? We see the order of the high priest has changed. And when Abraham gave his tenth, he showed us the body of Christ just the way in giving. That what's shown in this, the priesthood changed to the one sacrifice, the Son of God that was given, the one, our Savior. And when we worship him, because it says Abraham worshiped. It says he worshiped and gave his tenth.
Amen.
He gave his tenth. And when we come before God and give our offerings, our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings of any kind, it is in worship unto the one and true high priest.
Hallelujah.
We give it unto our Lord and Savior. In hearing these scriptures, we have received, and I'm going to read verse 22 again. In keeping with the oath, a greater strength and force, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better, stronger agreement, a more excellent and more advantageous covenant. And this is what we have gained. This is what we've gained.
Hallelujah.
In our giving, in our living, we so often refer back, if we refer back even now to what Israel did in 2 Chronicles 31, 1 through 11, and I'm only referring to this. Israel smashed all the idols and worshiped God with their offerings, with their sacrifices. But we know we already have the perfect sacrifice. But they gave their first fruits and their tithes bountifully, and God blessed them bountifully. He blessed them and continuously blessed them as they continue to stay and worship him and him alone.
Hallelujah.
We look to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 13. We believe every one of these blessings, and if you would turn with me there.
Jesus.
Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 13. Amen. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, what I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you. Amen. And overtake you if Amen. You heed the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beast, the increase of your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your baskets and your kneading trough. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you even seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name and in the presence of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground in the land which the Lord sworn to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath.
Hallelujah.
If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which command you this day, and are watchful to do them unto you. This is something that we declare. This Old Testament chapter, we declare this. We declare this scripture, rightfully so, as we are the body of Christ, not a type and shadow, but the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Luke 16:11 says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And realize, when I thought about this scripture, I saw how God has unfolded so many mysteries to us. But as we let go, smash, just like Israel did, the hold that unrighteous mammon has on us, being fearful of not enough, or whatever form the hold might be to the unrighteous mammon, whatever it might be,
Hallelujah. When
we let it go, when we put our confidence,
yes, Lord Jesus,
our confidence right where it belongs, in Christ our Savior, then more than we can even imagine is ours. A greater level of seeing, a greater level of hearing. What we have been receiving has been amazing. There is a greater to come. There is a greater to come. There has been, when Jesus went on the cross and he died and rose again, he gave us a greater order of things, a greater order of doing what he has asked of us, a greater order.
Yes,
that's what he's done. That's what he's done. There's not one of us that believes, because he fulfilled the scriptures, that he does not require us, and not by works, but by our confidence in him, of keeping what he has said. There's not one of us that believe we can go out and do whatever we want as the body of Christ. We behave just like the head is thinking. We behave just like the head is doing.
Hallelujah.
We do all because we are his body. There's not one of us, not one. And I'm saying this because the Father gave his first fruits. He gave his first fruits. And we can see we're only worshiping as we give all that he is saying to give. We're only giving him the worship that he is so worthy of. We're only loving on him. We're only letting go of the holds of this world and just truly, truly being the true body of Christ. And that's my case study.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Truly powerful. Looking at the transition of the priesthood, a lot of people don't get that over there in Hebrews, I believe 7 that you were in. They don't get that, that there was an exchange and now the order of giving would change. They were proving that Melchizedek didn't come out of a Levitical order. That he was one that that you couldn't trace where he came from, but he was noted as the Son of God. And it was where Abraham gave. It's how Abraham gave. And it was giving us that style of giving, that it was transitioning us in that chapter from giving in a Levitical manner or under the law type manner back unto a place of absolute worship. It was worship, and that's what God was proving there. But a lot of people don't understand what that chapter's saying, and because they really take Malachi 3, and Malachi 3 being baited under the law, being constructed under the law, and they don't understand that giving a tithe, when you give your tenth and you worship God with your tenth, that's the order in which you do it. The way that Abraham did it unto Melchizedek. You see where Jacob later on himself says that, he says, if you do this for me, God, if you take care of me, talking about running from Esau, if you can protect me, then I'll know that you're my God and I will give you, I will worship you with a tenth of all that you give unto me. These things were done prior to the law. It was always constituted as worship. And the Lord wants us to really, listen, it's a wonderful way to disconnect from the confidence in man.
Amen.
And
Amen.
To put your confidence in God. It's a wonderful way. And I love the way that the Lord has constructed it. I really do. I really do. And it's
Amen.
The absolute truth. If we can't release unrighteous mammon, and this is where the buck stops, and it's kind of funny that you say the buck, we say the buck stops. It stops here for most of the body. And this is what stops us from being unified. But if God has implemented a system of worship that we can all come into agreement with, then we as the body are laying down unrighteous mammon as one in the same mindset. Each joint would begin to supply differently. The anointing will take a whole new level for the entire body. We say amen to everything. And I find it amazing, Elder Donna, as well, when you think about this and you think about people that, like I already know who you're talking about in that article, but you think about those people that want to slander and slam and say they're not law keepers. Listen, they're not out there as murderers because the Bible says thou shalt not kill. They're not stealing. The Bible says in the law, thou shalt not steal. They're not committing adultery. The Bible says in the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. But they take the tithe. They take the tithe and they utilize that. But God said so many other things in the law that they will not
transgress. That's right.
But then they'll take the tithe, which was prior to the law, and they'll start to slander the tithe as though it's some type of curse to do. Okay, so let me go out and murder because the law told me I shouldn't. That's not New Testament teaching.
That's right.
That's an Old Testament. It's an Old Testament word. That's one of the Ten Commandments. That's where the law began, for crying out loud. But bottom line, Elder, I appreciate the study very, very much. It does show the transition in who we're giving to. And it's not because we have to. It's because, man, we want to. We want to worship him. And we want to lay down our confidence before him. And so that is absolutely powerful. Deuteronomy 13 hasn't changed a bit. Those promises are still yay and amen. They're still yay and amen.
Yes, yes.
And what is the commandment of God? What is the commandment? It's not what we're reading in terms of commandments. It's what the Rhema word is teaching us.
Amen.
That becomes the now commandments of God. The Rhema word. What is God's topic? What is God's matter? What is his heart? And so when we keep the Rhema word, remember we learned it. We don't let it suffer loss or injury. When we keep it and we do the Rhema, we're now under the commandments of God. And my goodness, we are now in right standing for those covenant blessings that were pronounced in Deuteronomy. It's funny that those folks, again, that slander the worshiping with the tithe, but they'll live by Deuteronomy 13. Mm-hmm. They're not going to slander the blessings that came from the law.
Amen.
They're going to still say amen to that. It's just amazing how they pick and they choose. But amen. That's a great study, Elder. A great, great study. And I see that we are in that case study. And yes. How are we in it? God is challenging us, whether you like it or not, whether you're hearing it or you don't want to hear it, maybe you're sick of hearing it. Bottom line, he's challenging us to come into a dimension, to come up into a dimension in every area, just like they did in the book of Acts. They moved from house to house, breaking bread. Then God said, okay, now let me try them. Let me see if they'll do this. He put it in their minds, all that were there. Sell all. Nothing belongs to you. It belongs to all of you. And that was their commandment. That was their challenge. That's where the mind of the Spirit spoke to them. And they did it. They did it. The mind of the Spirit has just been trying to unify us on a mere, if you will, not even 20% or 20 some odd percent, 10% in tithes, and we come above the tithe with a first fruit. And he's trying to get us on one accord to do that. These people sold 100%.
Yes, amen.
And I love how God chose the two levels of worship and giving to reveal to our house that were prior to the law, that were way before the law, first fruits and tithe. He's implemented something that was always done under grace, done out of love and worship and honor, just like that with Cain and Abel. Man, Cain couldn't cut it, but boy, Abel loved God, and therefore he sanctified his first unto the Lord. It was all about love and admiration, and worship. So amen, Elder. Amen. That's us. We're in this study. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, then who will commit to your trust the true riches? And that's what we're trying to graduate to. We're trying to get to the true riches. Because in the true riches, we'll find the riches that we want in the earth. They're found in the true riches. But amen. Amen. Good job. Great job. Amen. All right. All right, Ms. Javon, you had some really good fragments that you brought forth in what you sent Elder Allison when you guys were going back and forth. And she was so geeked up about it that she wanted me to hear what you sent back. I was like, geez, those fragments from the studies on Thursday were amazing. So, Ms. Javon, if you don't mind sharing with us what God has revealed to you and just powerful, just awesome. So I turn it over to you now.
Amen. Amen. Rhema family, just greetings in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Apostle, for allowing me to share. This case study from Elder Allison and also Evangelist Daryl. They were so powerful, and I took the time to, you know, gather more fragments. And so the purpose of the case studies today that I'm sharing is just to give more insight. The Lord wants to add another layer into the revelation of mammon.
Amen.
And how it relates to glory. And so coming from Elder Allison's case study, that was about John 12, verses 1 through 8. And I am going to particularly focus on verse number 3. So John 12 and 3 is what my fragment is really focusing on. And I'll go ahead and read that. And it says, John 12 and 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair." When I looked up, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So when I looked up what the word spikenard meant, it means trustworthy, genuine, having the power of persuading, skillful in producing belief, trusty, faithful, that which can be relied on. That was the type of ointment that was used.
Mm-hmm.
That word comes from the word pistis, which means persuasion, reliance upon Christ for salvation,
faith, amen. Assurance,
belief, faith, and fidelity.
Ha, Jesus.
Jesus. Oh. And he mentions that she wiped his feet with her hair. Even the word wiped had significance. That word means to knead out, to wipe dry, to wipe away. In the dictionary, the word knead, the definition of the word knead means to work and press into a mass with or as if with the hands. To manipulate or massage with a kneading motion.
Oh, wow.
To form or shape by or as if by kneading.
Bless you, Lord.
That made me think of how the rhema shapes us, molds us, clay with the potter in his hands.
My God.
Now, the revelation that the Lord wanted me to share with you all today is that Mary gave two offerings instead of one. When Mary, and I'm going to use, so it said that she wiped the feet, his feet with her hair. The Lord took me to 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 13 through 15 that says, "Judge in yourselves, is it calmly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is giving her for a covering." So when Mary wiped the feet of Christ with her hair.
Awesome.
With this costly ointment.
My God.
To anoint the feet of Jesus.
Jesus.
She was not only giving her money to him, but she was also giving her glory.
Oh, bless God.
Covering to him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
She took her money and her glory And she put it on the rhema.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Christ is the rhema. She put it on the rhema. The rhema which is trustworthy.
Hallelujah.
The rhema which is genuine. The rhema that has the power of persuading. The rhema which is skillful in producing. It's faithful, it's trusty, and it can be relied on.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She Hallelujah. Gave her mammon in the form of a costly ointment. And Hallelujah. She gave her glory in the form of her hair.
Hallelujah.
Excuse me, God. Oh, Jesus.
My God.
She gave two offerings to Christ instead of one. It was actually double. I'm sorry, the spirit of worship is on me so strong, you guys.
Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless you this morning. We bless you this morning.
Hallelujah.
She gave two offerings to Christ. It looks like one on the surface, but it was two. And we know that the biblical meaning of the number two means union. It means agreement. It means witness. So God has been telling TGM as the body to give two types of offerings.
Hallelujah.
Our tithes and our first fruit.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He wants us to give double, just like Mary.
Yes, Lord.
Wow.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And then I said, Lord, what is the significance of her hair? Why was her hair used instead of something else? And he said, her hair is the main way that, to identify a woman from a man. In 1 Corinthians 11, it describes the differences between a man and a woman and what is considered honorable versus shameful, based on the length of their hair. And he said, a woman's hair is her glory. We know that glory means honor, praise, worship, opinion, majesty, grace, dignity, judgment, view. It's a most exalted or blessed state. Most women receive glory or praise from compliments about people telling them that their hair is beautiful or that they like how their hair looks. Hair is a source of identity for a woman that creates an image. It influences the way she sees herself and how others see her. Most women do not like to mess up their hair because their hair is a source of pride, vanity, and beauty. So Mary's action of wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair,
wow, Lord,
costly ointment, it was a sign of intimate, holy worship. Mary's name means their rebellion, and Elder Allison explained that in her case study of how this action represented on behalf of others. However, this action, it was also twofold.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
It was also symbolic of Mary's own rebellion against vanity and against self-glory.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And these vanity and self-glory are things that the lovers of mammon possess. Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
And this is what Evangelist Daryl explained in his case study about King Nebuchadnezzar.
Jesus.
So Mary humbled herself and she sacrificially and selflessly gave Jesus her glory.
Yes, amen.
Her hair. And she used her body in his service for his purpose. She gave her glory to Christ in exchange for his greater glory.
Amen, God.
She literally laid her glory down at his feet. She served him with her glory and her money. Her act of worship was acceptable and pleasing in his sight. It created an odor that filled the house for all others to smell.
Hallelujah.
My God. My God.
TGM, we are being challenged to worship the Lord in our giving. Will you sacrifice your money and your glory just like Mary did?
Bless God.
Will you bring what is most precious and most costly to you and lay it down at the feet of our Lord Christ?
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Will you give an offering that which you find glory in and lay it down? We see from this account of Mary that when we sacrificially give our glory and our money in obedience to whatever the Rhema tells us to do, when we give what is the most precious and the most costliest, laying down our vanity.
Come on now. Come on.
We're laying down our self-glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus.
We're laying down our mammon.
God bless you.
And this is an elevated place of worship.
Yes, it is.
And acceptable to God like Abel's sacrifice was.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
TGM, we're being challenged as the body of Christ to lay down our glory, lay down our gifts, to lay down our trust, to lay down our reliance, to lay down our rebellion, to lay down our vanity, to lay down our money,
hallelujah, Jesus,
to lay down our identity and other things, to lay it at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Who is the head of our body? We're being called to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and become fully persuaded. Like the three Hebrew boys who are willing to give themselves as a living sacrifice unto death by fire.
Hallelujah.
And just like Mary, who was willing to give God her glory and her money. When we give from a pure heart of worship.
My God in heaven.
To honor the Lord.
My God in heaven. My God.
It's about worship, TGM.
My God in heaven. My God.
It's not about money. It's about worship.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yes, God.
It's about worship.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yeah, God.
That's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We'll see the outpouring of God's spirit arrive.
Yes, we will. Yes, hallelujah. We will. God, yes, we will.
And the honor of this blessing,
oh, God,
will fill our holy temple.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll experience a covering exchange.
Oh,
her
Jesus.
Her hair was her covering, and she gave it to Christ for his covering.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, the covenant exchange.
My God. My God.
My Mark, it'll be a covenant exchange from our glory.
God, my God.
Into his greater glory that the Rhema has yet to reveal.
My God.
TGM, God's waiting for us.
Oh.
He's way not fast.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Let's answer the call to elevated worship. And go to the other side in glory.
Jesus.
Thank you.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
The fragment.
God, oh God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God.
My God, my God, my God, my God. So powerful. So, so powerful.
Thank you, Jesus.
So powerful, so on point.
Thank you.
So accurate. And so it was just on point. It points to something that I think it's really noteworthy. This particular case study, this fragment that became such a meal so fast with just one scripture here, basically. And it's just such a meal before us and for us to really, 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 really be nourished from.
Yes.
The way that she revealed the spikenard really just pointing to, I believe, just confidence. And she's talking about the glory of her hair, which was all that Mary Magdalene had to offer the Lord at the time. And she laid down what she had, the glory that she had, she laid it down, as well as the financial giving, because the spikenard was said that it could feed the poor for over a year, the amount that she gave. In fact, I believe Judas quoted that it was worth 300 pennyworth, and Philip had asked a question, Lord, how in the world are we going to feed 5,000 or so many thousands, all these thousands? 200 pennyworth isn't enough. So he's talking about that being comparison. So this spikenard was actually enough to feed the multitude in terms of money. And she laid that down. Now, but the interesting thing here is this to me. This is really, really powerful. And listen to this now. As Javon was teaching, I had gotten a fragment out of what she was teaching that just marries with it perfectly. The Bible says, with great power gave the apostles witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, this happened right after verse 32, verse 33 comes and says, with great power, they gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord. That means power and authority they were showing. All right. This is after the whole body of believers had the mindset to give, to sell all that they had. So right after the mindset of that giving kicks in, great power kicks in of the resurrection. What am I saying? What's this got to do with Mary? Well, Mary Magdalene, after she gave what she gave in the manner that she gave, she was the first to ever give witness of the resurrection. She was the first. She got the apostles up off their behinds who were in this place of mourning. And she went and preached the resurrection of the Lord. And I heard this, Javon, while you were teaching, that when we come in a place of giving, the body is going to have witness of the resurrection of Jesus. We walk around morbid, preaching his death and living like he's dead and not alive, full of power and authority, means and aid and relief and all wealth belonging to him. We walk around in this place where he's still like buried. I heard this, that when we start to give of the unrighteous mammon in the way that the Spirit of God is calling us to, the power or the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is going to enter in the body. We're going to show power and authority, wealth, prestige. Everything that he is will be replaced. It will come back to the way it's supposed to be. We're missing the resurrection, the power of his resurrection.
You better say that, Apostle.
We're missing it. And Mary Magdalene was the first to ever talk about it. He met with Mary first. She laid it down for him like this. She gave of herself in her glory. Then we see the entire church do the same thing, to give of their mammon and their glory, whatever gifts they had. They laid it down at the apostles' feet.
Yes.
Then now the witness of his resurrection enters in. I don't think that's strange that first it started with Mary Magdalene. laying down her mammon and her glory. Then being able to give witness of his, Jesus meets up with Mary. How in the world did this happen? Does it have anything to do with the fact that she laid down her unrighteous mammon and her glory? Then the whole entire church does it, and the same move of his resurrection, the anointing, the witness of his resurrection re-enters into the entire church through the apostles. We're missing this. Powerful case study. Truly powerful. My God, it was powerful. Jesus. And it's worship. Did anybody else hear that part of it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She said it was worship.
Amen.
That's all giving is worship. That's all it is. That's all it is. And let me tell you something, everybody. Don't you forget this. You don't get to give what you want. The only offering truly received is that which is communicated by the mind of the Spirit.
Uh-huh. Amen.
We are led. We are Spirit-led givers. And the mind of the Spirit for our house is to honor God with our first fruit and our tithe. It's not the mind of Apostle Todd. It is the mind of the Spirit. Trust me, Apostle Todd has wanted to bury the subject. Leave it alone because people have too many discrepancies about it. But every time the Lord, the mind of the Spirit starts to move again and reveals the order of our worship. I won't preach for the body at large. But I will preach for the house of True Gospel Ministries. And if God makes this a body move, then so be it. But I know he wants to unify this house.
Amen. Amen.
An unrighteous mammon is not what's going to keep us from being unified. Powerful. Powerful. And I have to say this, and I'm going to be completely open. Javon, there was a different sound on you, and you have come into the message and the worship of giving like this, and there's a different sound on you. There's a sound of the prophetic.
Hallelujah.
And teaching that's coming out of your spirit. There's a different sound on you. You're hearing differently. I gotta say it, you're hearing deeper. You're hearing with a prophetic ear. Not only are you giving definitions to things and words that stuck out to you, but you're prophetically giving definitions. Hallelujah. It's different.
Hallelujah.
It's different. I could hear it immediately. My God, my God. My God in heaven.
Apostle,
yes.
He gave me another fragment, and I know that we may be out of time, but the other fragment was about Judas.
Mm-hmm.
From that angle.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
I don't know if we have enough time.
Well, I'll tell you what. For the sake of time. And I would love to leave it off just where it is right here. For the sake of time and because of what was said and the spirit of worship that was released on our atmospheres. Oh, God. We'll have respect under that.
Amen.
And then we'll come back to that again next week. This isn't over. I have an entire study on Jacob.
Amen.
An entire study on Jacob that blew my mind. That's why I was so late this morning. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't get out of the study. God was revealing so much in the same like manner that Elder Donna shared and that Javon shared, that Evangelist Darrow shared and Elder Allison shared. God is really, stockpiling this rhema. And he's saying, here, listen, I'm establishing this as an order forever. And if you lay this down, you will see the outpouring of my spirit. The true riches will be made manifest. God is giving business ideas. And I had gotten a text from Evangelist Benita. And I read it and I was blown away by it. We haven't talked about it personally yet, but blown away by the ingenuity that God is giving in the spirit. Because I have been given something as well that had to be patented. And I began to move in getting it patented and started the first proceedings of the patent. And God is giving ideas for wealth. And he's planting these things in our body, in our ministry. Kurt is doing more studying and getting in more into real estate. I'm getting calls and people are telling me about ideas. My son-in-law, soon to be son-in-law, listens in every Sunday, has ideas springing up out of him. He's on the line every Sunday. And he's got ideas and they keep coming. And this anointing to do business and to get wealth is on this ministry right now, because we're starting to gravitate to what God wants. And we're laying down the unrighteous mammon, and our confidence is in him. And we don't even have 100-fold doing this in this ministry. But the numbers and the percentages have gone up to the point where God says, I see it. Now let me do this. Things are shifting. I can't wait to hear that case study next week. We're staying in this. And we're not going to let alone until the Spirit of the Lord lifts and moves. We move with the cloud by day and fire by night. Wherever Amen. God is, that's where we're going.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So in that note, we're going to honor God, everyone. And I will share with you. I will be on the line. I don't like to teach too deep on Thursdays because there are several people that can't be in the live meeting. But I really feel as though I'm going to have to teach on the subject of Jacob on Thursday. And we'll have Javon come back and we'll tag again on Sunday between her case study on Judas and wherever God is also leading us to go from that point. But we're going to honor God now, and we're going to honor him in our giving. You guys know the drill about Cash App. It's $ True Gospel Men's. Look for the logo. If you're going to Zelle, go through truegospelmens@aol.com. We do honor God with a first fruit and with a tithe. We honor God with free will offerings and whatever the mind of the Spirit is communicating, wherever the mind of the Spirit is communicating to you. And so, but we want to honor him. And I would love for everybody to be in line. And I love exactly what Javon said. She said, it's not about money. It's about worship. That's all it is. It's about worship. Now, don't just lay down the mammon, but lay down your supply. What's in your joint? Lay down and let the Lord know that whatever anointing he's placed on your life, it's his too, that it's his. I'm laying down not just this mammon, but I'm laying down whatever else you've given me. Jacob said it like this. He said, whatever you give me, whatever you give me, I will worship you. I will give you a tenth of all that thou hast given unto me. And Jacob didn't just lay down that tenth, everyone. Jacob got in a fight with an angel who he called God himself. Because the fight was coming from within, because the deceiver wanted to become something else. He first wanted to give God the tenth. He first honored God and said, I will give you tenth. Then there was one more fight that he had because deceiver was still alive in him. He said, I want to lay it down too. And when he laid it down and wrestled with the angel all night, God said this. He said, listen, he said, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, no longer is your name Jacob. He said, your name is Israel, because you are a prince. You have power with God and with men. Your confidence is no longer in your deception and being able to get unrighteous mammon. Your confidence now is in God. You've got power with God. Jacob laid down his deception. He laid it down, and what he got in exchange was he became Israel, became a prince who had power with God and with men. Maybe you're wrestling. Maybe you're going through. You don't know how to get into a place of worship with God in your giving. Well, wrestle then. I say wrestle. But listen, what you're going to lay down is coming from the inside. You're going to end up laying down your confidence, whatever your name. He's going to re-surname you. He's going to change your name. But whatever it is that's stopping you and holding, it's worth the fight. It's worth the wrestle until God changes you from the inside out. And you're able not to just lay down your unrighteous mammon, but you lay down yourself too. You lay down yourself. And I think that's the wrestle for everybody on the line today. To lay down all of ourselves.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Become who God really wants us to be. So if you got to wrestle before you can release, then wrestle. I say go for it.
Yes.
And let the Lord touch the hollow of your thigh. So that no longer are you wrestling with him, but you begin to lean on him. When you stop wrestling, you start to lean.
That's good.
Because you can't fight God. He's going to win. But when you come to the realization, you'll come from wrestling to leaning. I promise you. And when you reach the leaning point, he's going to change your name. He's going to show you who you are in the spirit and give you and reveal your full purpose to you again. For some of you, it's again. For some of you, it might be for the first time. So if you got to wrestle before you can release today, wrestle. But when you lay it down, you get ready to lay down everything. The unrighteous mammon and yourself. Hallelujah. So you know that your giving instructions are on the screen. God bless you guys today. Awesome job, Evangelist, Elder Donna. And I wanted to call you Evangelist Javon. I don't know if that's God's title for your life. I don't know. It just came out. Sometimes it just starts like that. But it is on you. The anointing to teach is all over your life now. There's a prophetic sound coming up with it. Oh, I'm blessed to watch your evolution here. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Praise God.
Bless God. Amen, Lord.